This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Geek Speak on Katie and Kay comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
We've both been out gallivanting around, and we're both super relaxed. And
yeah.
Well, kinda.
Kinda.
Except I drove a van with half a ton of rocks back from Arizona, so. But that's not bad.
I kind of like the open road.
Yeah, I do too.
Now we were out of town and at a beach in between the storms.
Uh-huh. Now, where exactly were you in Florida?
About an hour and a half east of Pensacola.
Okay. East of Pensacola. Okay. Got it. So you were like in the Big Bend.
Yeah. Emerald Coast. Yep.
Okay. Got it. And you got out of there just in time, right?
Yeah. Got in there just in time. Got out of there just in time. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So
were the hurricane preparations starting as you left, or?
No, it didn't seem like it. I mean, no. it was just
a normal day.
Just a normal day. You know, it hasn't really been the west end of Florida really hasn't been touched much. We were in Central Time,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know there's a little clip of Florida that was in Central, but it is.
Oh, I did not know that either. Wow.
So.
That's great.
But nothing that we, you know, the very extreme edge of Helene was there on the couple days before we got there, but you know, it was basically showers and maybe like 10 mm-hmm. mile an hour winds. So nothing at all.
Got it.
And, the day after we left, it started like 85-90% chance of showers. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. So, you are listening to Geek Speak. If you have a computer question, or if you want to weigh in with some cool new tech gadget or procedure or service, give us a call at 970-963-2976, and we will do our best to help you sort it out.
Yeah. I just saw a quick little thing about USB 4 2.0, so okay. 80 gigabits per second, and then I'll have to look up the USB PD of 240 watts.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So 80 gigabits per second and 240 watts of power through a USB cable.
Wow.
That's wild.
That really is. I mean, shoot, you could like jump start your car with your computer. I wouldn't recommend it, but
you could,
in theory.
Well, but you could, if you could make a little device that would negotiate. Well, and I think it might be 19 volts. So you'd actually, I could get a, make a, a buck converter. So, but okay. 240 watts, if you can convert that to, you know, 14.1, I'd have to do the math, but,
uh-huh.
I mean, that's a lot of amps to put into your car battery to charge it relatively yep. quickly.
So do you have one of those little jump starter packs, the ones that you charge you over USB? Do you have one of those?
No, it's kind of been on my, it's been on my periphery of my, like, you know, preparedness kit. Uh-huh. You know, I like to be prepared for things of that nature.
Absolutely.
So,
for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, and this is a tech gadget, you can pick it up at any auto parts store or even on Amazon, but they make a little jump starter pack that you charge over USB-C. And so you can charge you charge it with your phone charger. And, you know, I pull mine out of the car and make sure that it's topped off every 3 months or so. But just keep it in the car, and it's got a little, you just pull it out of its case, and it's got a little cable that plugs in that's got the two big clamps to go on your battery.
See, I wonder if you could just do a key hot and just, and a, you know, a car charger. So you go from 12 mm-hmm. volts to USB, you know, IQ or whatever it'll take, you know, mm-hmm. 5 volts, 3 amps or something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just when the car's on, it's charging.
Got it. Yeah.
I mean, that's not a great thing to do to a lithium. A lead acid battery would like that a lot more than a lithium ion.
Yeah, yeah.
But then at least you'd be charged.
Well, yeah, you definitely could charge it. You know, you could definitely charge it that way. I mean, it just may charge really slow. You know, yeah. I don't know. But
well, I was just talking about over lithium ion batteries like to be stored at like, you know, between 60% and 85%.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're kind of, if it's sitting at 100% for a long time, you are technically degrading the battery over time.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So if you really don't want it necessarily, it's probably better to charge it up and then, you know, then let it sit as opposed to, you know, topping it off from like, you know, 99% to 100% every time you drive
your car. So me procrastinating topping it off is a good thing.
Yeah. So you just have to figure out your bingo and like when it gets to 75%, charge it back up or something like that.
Yeah.
And there should be some self-discharge with the battery changing temperature.
Yeah. It is kind of mind-blowing, though, because the first time I saw it used, it was like this guy hooked it up to like a big 8-cylinder, you know, construction pickup truck and started it right up. And I'm like, really? It's like, because I mean, this thing's, it's like this big, you know, it's about the size of a US or a Bluetooth speaker, you know, it's like or the small Bluetooth speakers. And so, well, what else is going on out there?
Let's see. I read there's a couple CVEs, so a couple security things that we need to pay. So if you are running Linux, and you are using Cups, and you are using the network,
which is a printing software,
complementary Unix printing service. If you have the, and I'm not sure if there's a fix available yet. This was disclosed first day of October, so. But basically, if you have printer discovery turned on, you should probably turn it off immediately.
We got a call coming in.
You're on with the Geeks.
Oh, hey, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
We're good. How you doing, dear?
Pretty good. Yeah, I just wanted to, let's see, I'm trying to find an empty room.
Have you recovered from your from your overseas travels?
Well, yeah, I have. Yeah, it was challenging with the... going with a broken arm, but no, it's all good. Yeah. Hey, one interesting thing, speaking of, you know, one-armed people, one of the things that a friend of mine showed me and then I subsequently bought was a pop socket, I think it's called.
It goes on your phone, right?
It goes on the back of my phone because remember a while ago, a few weeks ago or a month ago when I talked about the accessibility options to tell your phone to take a picture verbally?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Anyway, for some reason, it's not working again. I don't know why. Oh. But I didn't bother looking. What I did was I bought one of those pop sockets because I kind of like it, actually. And I could take a picture with one hand. But the new iPhone 16s, I think, have a push button now where you can take a picture or something with one push instead of two.
Okay.
Or something. Anyway, I don't know, but I thought I'd bring that up. Did anybody try? Did you either of you try the accessibility options? Oh, Matt, you don't have an iPhone, do you?
No, I have an iPhone 15.
Oh, you do have a 15, same as me.
Yeah.
Did you guys try that?
So I did, and the iPhone 11, I don't think does it. I'm like in ancient history with my phone here, so which ironically enough, it's the only time in my life I've ever owned the latest model, and I know everybody's heard me whine about this. It's the latest model, and literally 2 weeks later they came out with the iPhone 12, so I had 14 days of that glory.
That's about where I'm at with the 15. I think I had 2 or 3 weeks of this is the newest phone, but they were trying to get rid of them because the 16 was announced, so it's like, they made an offer, and it's like, okay, I'll take the offer.
I like the 15, though.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about I can actually upgrade to my phone will still run iOS 18, so I need to go out and find that and, you know, start checking out the new features that are compatible with my phone, at least. So.
Oh, sweet, yeah. Hey, speaking of... have you guys, you know, I keep looking at the MacRumors.com because I really like their buyer's guide.
Uh-huh.
We've mentioned it before, but it's one of the things that, you know, tells you, buy or don't buy, or it's a good time to buy. Anyway, I keep waiting for that iPad mini. I'd really like an iPad mini for traveling. But, man, they just have not announced anything, nothing yet about iPad minis. They're a couple of years old already. Hopefully they'll still have them.
Well, I'm impressed.
But iPad.
I'm impressed that your eyes can handle an iPad mini because I'm like, my what is it 11? I'm sorry. What are the smaller ones? Are 9-inch, 9.6 or something like that? Mm-hmm. I have an iPad Air, and it's the 9.6, and I'm kind of struggling a little bit with vision on it. And so I'm kind of, and not only am I doing that, but it has become excessively slow. And my wife and I have identical iPads, and we're both having the same exact thing go on. It's like the content that is getting pushed in over the internet is too advanced. You know, it's taking the iPad a lot longer to figure out the content that's coming in. And so I know it's not just my mind is like going south, you know, since both of ours are doing exactly the same thing. And
so let me ask you this. I have an iPad Air, and I can't upgrade the OS anymore, but it doesn't seem like it's very old. But yeah. Maybe I bought it 4 years ago.
You know, it's funny with mine keeps on upgrading, but I haven't paid attention to what it's updating to. So I don't know if it's like current or whether it's just, you know,
or like security updates,
like making updates available that are specific to that particular iPad or not, you know. But so right. I was kind of thinking about getting the iPad, the Pro, the big 12-inch version. And I had one of the 12-inch Pros, the original ones, and it was like it was like holding a brick in your lap. I mean, it was so heavy.
Right.
And so, you know, if it was going to work for me, I'd have to find like one that is, you know, super super thin and light. Some technology buying's getting ready to happen in our house. So
yep. So. Hey, let me ask you a question about when I went to Europe. Did I tell you that I came back and my all my text messages are coming from my iCloud instead of my phone number? And what's weird is that and I still haven't figured that out. I have that eSIM and the NordVPN, but anyway, I haven't spent any time Googling it, but people have been making comments to me. So if you guys hear anything about that, let me know. In the meantime, one of these days I'll Google it, as long as I can still text. But the bummer is that I've lost a week worth of text messages. So
That is a drag.
While I was gone, they never came through. So I assume I missed that stuff.
That's crazy.
But anyway.
So my daughter just landed in Mexico for a couple days, and we do our cell phones through Xfinity, and she called Xfinity to get the, you know, find out what kind of a roaming package she needed to have on there. So like, I mean, I remember back in the day, back when I was on AT&T, it was $40 a month, and it just basically made your phone act like you're in the same country, or, you know, anywhere in North America, it was $40 a month. And your phone just basically unlimited text and talk, you know, like that. Well, she sat there and grilled the Xfinity rep for 10 minutes. And because the last time she had done this, she got a surprise when she landed in Mexico. And she said, so it's $10. And the lady's like, yes, $10 a month. She's like, that's it. $10 a month. That's all I'm going to have to pay. Lady's like, yep, $10. She's like, let me get this straight. $10 a month. Yeah, $10 a month. She lands in Mexico. First thing she gets is a text message. It says, you're on Mexico roaming. It'll cost you $10 a day.
Wow. Yep. $10 a day is.
Yeah. So for those of you who are getting ready to travel to Mexico, I don't know what advice I have, except buckle up, because you're going to end up, if you're on Xfinity, at least. I don't know what the other carriers are doing. But,
well, that's what it is at Verizon, too. And that's why I got like this, you know, I got this eSIM. Uh-huh. I only paid like not even $10 for the entire week that I was in Europe because I didn't use that much data.
Got it. So it's not $10 a day for, is $10 a month or, okay.
You pay by the gig, right? So you can, like, I think I signed up for 3 gigs for like $6.99.
Got it.
And that was it. That's all I paid for the whole time I was in Europe, because otherwise I would have paid $10 a day.
Yep. Okay. But well, I'm going to start threatening Xfinity. I'm going to start threatening them. Tell them I'm ready to jump ship. So
Yep. Well, there's always Visible. That's what I have, Visible, which is a Verizon offshoot.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've been hearing. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it's basically $25 a month unless you. But I pay $35 because I want to make calls overseas or something. But anyway, so I pay $35 a month as long as you have four people sign up. I think it's $25 to $35 a month, depending upon which plan you have.
Because I think ours, we've got three phones on ours. It's $111, and including taxes and everything. Yeah, it's a great price unless you go to Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, well, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
eSIM.
So, yeah.
And the VPN, NordVPN apparently is a good thing to do while you're traveling too. Yeah. So
now, were you able to like watch American TV and stuff with the NordVPN, or did you even try?
I didn't try actually. Okay. No, I didn't even try.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. No, but I don't know. Take my big ass iPad though.
Okay. Nice. Did you, I don't know if you remember, but when I went to Europe back in 2009 or whatever it was, like the very last place I was in a hotel in Zurich and my card information got jacked, like right when I was paying for the Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So it was like on an unencrypted connection for like 2 minutes. And, and then all of a sudden all these crazy supplements started showing up at my house. So it's a really weird
scary
scam.
Stuff, man.
Well, yeah, I mean they send you $2 and they send you 20 cents worth of supplements and charge you $2.40 for it, and it just keeps coming, and they're just like enough small transactions you won't notice it, and anyway. Yep. So
Yep,
I get a notification anytime my cards are used.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, set it up.
This is before they had that.
Probably. Yeah, it's right on the edge.
It was almost before they had cards. No, I'm just kidding.
Yep. So, funny. Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I'll listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Donna.
Okay, talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm, bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 970-963-2976. Have a few minutes left. I was just taking a look at the list of mobile, what do they call it? Mobile virtual network operators in the United States. I got another call already.
Wow. We are.
We're on it.
Lucky today.
You're on with the geeks.
You're on with the geeks. Hello. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing good. I have a random question.
Is your radio on? Yeah. Could you turn your radio down?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that better?
Yes.
That's much better.
Okay. So I work in an office environment, and we just switched a coworker from a Mac to a new Mac. What is the easiest way to transfer, like, printer settings?
You should be able to use the migration assistant through on Wi-Fi.
Is it too late for that, or
Have you already set up a new user on the new machine?
So yeah, he got into the new Mac and he tried transferring files and a lot of things. And I think, I mean, it didn't do it successfully.
Got it.
I was just wondering. How...
So the migration assistant, what it'll do is it'll, if he already has a user account set up on the new computer and he uses the migration assistant, depending on it, it's going to basically ask him what username, what user account you want to name it when you do the migration assistant. And first of all, if he has anything saved in that other user account that he wants to keep, you need to make sure and name it something different, or, you know, like just append the number one. You know, if it's Bob Smith, just make it Bob Smith one and migrate what's on the, you know, I'm actually talking about doing it from like a Time Machine backup. That's how I generally do it because it's fastest. But when you run the migration assistant, make sure that you name the new account something different if you don't want to lose everything that's in the existing account. And then once the migration assistant completes, it should have brought all the printer settings. As long as you check the box that says computer settings, it should
okay,
bring
so
all
we're
that
like,
over.
So we use Jump Cloud to manage the accounts.
Uh-huh.
So it's... So he's using the same user account. will that migration tool still work?
As long as he names the new account something different than the existing account that you've created. If you don't name it something different, then it'll just overwrite the account that's already on there. But if you name it something different, then you'll end up with two accounts, and then you can go into the old account, dump things onto a flash drive if you need to, and log into the new account and copy it over just so you don't lose anything. So that makes sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'll make sure to go ahead and try that.
Cool.
Or does JumpCloud have a printer management section where you can add them through JumpCloud?
I don't think so.
Got it.
Okay.
I would think that. All right.
Well, call us back and let us know how it goes. All right.
For sure.
Yep. Have a great one.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Yeah. Got a few more minutes. 4 to be exact. Maybe 3.5. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, I've been noticing what I've set up a couple of new PCs lately, and part of the new PC Microsoft setup is, do you want to restore this with like a PC that's already been linked to your Microsoft account? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I do that.
They're trying to be migration assistant people, you know.
If you set up your Microsoft account on the original one, or have one drive attached to the old one, have backup set up on the old one, you can log into your Microsoft account on the new one and have it pull down all your backups from OneDrive into your new machine.
Yeah. Well, this is actually more similar.
Is it local?
It's more similar to, no, it's not local, but it's more similar to when your Mac asks you if you want to migrate from another account, from another Mac or whatever. It's pretty much the same type of deal, and it gives you a list of all the computers that are linked to your Microsoft account, and you can choose which one. And this is like, you're not even in Windows yet. I mean, you're in pre-Windows setup mode, and you can basically choose this, you know, choose like a computer that you previously had linked to that account.
Is that right after the account login?
Yes.
If you don't do the out-of-box experience bypass?
Exactly, and
that seems to
have stopped working anyway. Or
it still works.
The bypass?
Yeah, I did it last week. Or really? week before last.
Alt F11? Is it?
No, it's like Control R.
Oh.
Or something like
that. They changed it because it was Control like Shift F11 or something like that.
Yeah, you do the OBR, whatever it is. The
OBE,
Yeah, out of box experience / knows whatever it is. And
got it. Okay.
Yeah, I did that.
Well, I'll try that again because I've been just using it with the dummy account and then going in and creating new accounts and deleting the dummy account.
Yeah. So, just don't
Just don't
connect to Wi-Fi first.
Yeah. But
even
when I wasn't connected, I had that experience. But anyway, so Microsoft is trying to catch up, you know. I mean, it's only been how many years now?
Yeah. And on the Mac OS X Sequoia, after like 15 years, they finally have if you bring your window to the edge of the window, it'll snap to half panel, or you pull it to the top, it'll do full panel, like Windows has had since Windows Vista.
Okay.
So,
you know what's funny? I've been trying to do that with my Mac for like the last couple of months, and I've just been kind of scratching my head. I'm like, I could have sworn this worked at one point, but
I was
on a PC.
For the last 15 years, I've been using one called SizeUp, which gives you hotkeys to do all those things.
Okay, got it.
And so now finally, Mac OS X has finally caught up to Linux and Microsoft for being able to manage your Windows.
Got it. Okay, well, I need to pull my late model Mac out and
see if Sequoia will run
it. Sequoia. So, that'll be good. So, I was just reading this article about U.S. judge orders Google to open up the App Store. So what does that mean? To competition. Judge's order says Google cannot bar the use of in-app payment methods for 3 years. Google plans to appeal the verdict, seek to pause the order, and they've been
excluded. So it sounds like they had exclusive pay rights. So if you had payments in an app, it went through the Google credit card processing system, so they got their cut.
Skim some off, yeah.
So it sounds like that's the part of it. And then there's like Odroid, which if you root your phone, you can is another what do you call it? You know, like Play Store kind of place
it's
with
like
all
a,
your apps.
A dark app store.
Yeah, open source app store. Okay, dark, yeah.
All right. Cool.
So and it sounded like the EU, and I've been hearing about this for months, but the European Union's probably gonna force Apple to allow something similar where they can you can load a third party app store on your phone to be able to sideload third party apps without Apple's intervention. But I haven't heard anything about that in several months, so I'm assuming that's still in litigation or something of that effect.
Well, I guarantee you one thing that's going to come along with that is that after you download some sketchy app onto your iPhone and get it all futzed up and you call Apple for tech support, they're going to have their hand out.
or they're going to go, they'll just go, you have to factory default your phone.
Yeah.
Before we'll talk to you.
That would be just deserves, as they say.
Yeah. Well,
or just deserves.
You got to know what you're getting. You got to know your risks.
Absolutely.
And manage them. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, hey, we did it, man.
Yeah. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McPrayer from Ruin Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie Computer Guy. We'll be back on October 21st.
21st? Oh, your math is better than mine.
I just opened a calendar.
Yeah, I went to a six-day week plan. I was going to go. We'll be back on the 19th, which is a Saturday night.
Well, we're finally going to do an after hours, huh?
Well, yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. And in the meantime, don't touch your knob.